So, you know, I thought another name that we could have called the retreat might have been Reminders of the Resurrection, or Reminders of the Resurrection. My teaching is titled Safety Net of Hope. Safety Net of Hope. Everything we are as Christians, everything we believe, our every hope for the future is based on and wrapped around the resurrection. It's what makes the gospel the good news. God sent his only son to die for our sins, and he did. The end. Right? No, right? He took the punishment for us. He was crucified on the cross. Then he rose from the grave, making the way for all of us to escape death and have eternal life. In the first section of 1 Corinthians 15, which Jess shared with us this afternoon, Paul reminds the Corinthians that Christ's resurrection is at the very center of what they believed when they came to believe that gospel message. They accepted it as truth when they first came to Christ, but now they need to be reminded again of that truth, because in this next section we're going to study now, verses 12 through 19, the Greeks who did not believe in a physical resurrection are now disputing that Christ rose from the dead. And if that is in fact the case, then these believers have a huge problem and are in danger of believing that they have bought into some sort of hoax or gimmick. Paul, recognizing this, addresses it. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. After I get a sip of water, hold on. All right. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, useless. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. That's a downer. So first, Paul addresses this false doctrine in verse 12. No resurrection, no physical resurrection of the dead. In order to prove how this false teaching could not possibly be true, Paul points out this domino effect that this would cause. If, in fact, there were no resurrection of the dead, and if, in fact, Christ did not rise from the dead, then the Corinthians and the rest of us would be faced with this downward spiral of sadness that would lead us then to like absolute hopelessness. But, thank goodness there's a but there, because we know the resurrection of Christ is a reality, we know that we have a real hope, a safety net that will catch us no matter what darkness or despair, not even death, nothing we experience can ever take that hope away. That safety net is forever and always there. So, who was preaching or saying this in Paul's day and today? And where was this false belief stemming from? First of all, Corinth in Greece and the Greek culture and philosophy around them denied the possibility, any possibility, of a physical resurrection. The Greeks believed that only your soul went on to live after death, not your body. They viewed all things spiritual as good. They believed your spirit went on to live after death, but the physical was bad. The idea of a resurrected body was like almost disgusting to them. Wasn't possible. Not possible. Not good. Number two, there were false teachers who were proclaiming this belief. In 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 18, Paul writes to Timothy about at least two, no doubt there were many more of these false teachers. He says in, again, 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 18, But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Believers in Paul's day who perhaps had weak faith, maybe they had believed, they wanted to believe that Christ had risen from the dead, were being swayed by these lies. And their new, perhaps already weak and maybe feeble faith was being challenged and in a lot of cases even shattered. Number three, that same thing happens today, right? That shouldn't be a surprise to us. There are many today who deny the resurrection of Christ and the possibility of a physical resurrection. Many of them do not profess to be Christians at all. But sadly, some today who do profess to be followers of Christ are still spreading the same lies today. This not surprising, but still sad. It should be saddening to us. This is an article that's based on a Scripps Howard News Service and Ohio University. They both did this poll. And it says here, as the reporters explain, only 36% of the 1,007 adults interviewed interviewed a month ago by the Scripps Survey Research Center at Ohio University said yes. So only 36% said yes to the question, do you believe that after you die, your physical body will be resurrected someday? 54% said they do not believe, and 10% were undecided. Quote, this reflects the very low state of doctrinal preaching in our churches, said Al Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and editor of the Southern Baptist Journal of Theology. Quote, I continually am confronted by Christians, even active members of major churches, who have never heard this taught in their local congregations, Mohler said. We have a lowest common denominator, Christianity being taught in so many denominations that has produced a people who simply do not know some of the most basic Christian truths. I think he's got a valid point. We need to know the doctrinal truth behind the reality of the resurrection because, listen to this in the same article, retired Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, who himself denies the resurrection of the body as well as the physical resurrection of Christ, also registered surprise at the survey's finding. Quote, I don't know what to make of this, said retired Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, author of Resurrection, Myth, or Reality, and other books that downplay supernatural events in the Bible. Maybe the old Greek idea of an immortal soul has taken over, and the idea of a resurrected body has fallen into disrepute. How sad. We need to know what the scriptures say. Remember, Jess pointed out that Paul wrote about the scriptures twice. Some of you might have underlined scriptures twice. We need to know what the scriptures say. And, you know, when I first went to look over this passage, I thought, well, what am I supposed to teach on, Lord? Because the majority of you here, right, I'm going to assume, maybe not all of you, the majority of you here believe in the resurrection. And I read over this and I thought, well, my teaching is going to go something like this. The resurrection is true. It happened. And if you don't believe it, we'll pray for you. Okay, good night. Let's go. Let's pray. I was like, what? But then the more I started to study, I felt, you know, we can't just say we believe in the resurrection because we just believe, because when we sing those worship songs and we just know that, well, we might believe it and that's great. Okay, but we need to know why we believe it. What did the scripture say? How do we know? We can't let our guards down because Satan would like nothing better than to come along and attack something that we believe just because, right? Just because. That's not a very good, strong protector of our faith, if you will. So we need to know why we believe the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ and know the scriptural evidence and proof that more than backs it up. All right, Paul goes on to say in verses 13 through 15, if Christ is not risen, then we have nothing. As Christians, the resurrection is everything to us, our belief, our faith. It is the original and best ever happy ending, glorious ending. It is the reason that we can live in this icky and dark and depressing world. It's the reason we can lift our head every morning. It is what propels us to tomorrow. Without it, we have nothing. We have no hope for the future. And I pray and I hope that there's none of you here who are in that boat. But if you are, I'm glad you're here. Paul says, without the risen Christ, our preaching is empty and we have no forgiveness of sins. Without Christ's resurrection, there is nothing to our preaching, Paul says. The forgiveness of sins is made possible by the resurrection. That was the good news that the apostles were preaching. Acts 10:43 says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But if Christ didn't rise after paying the price for our sins, then there is no forgiveness of sins and we would all be doomed and headed for hell with no hope. Paul says our faith would be useless if this were not true. Our faith would be good for nothing. We'd be holding on to a lifeline that led nowhere, a floating anchor out at sea with nothing to grasp onto. He says they would be false witnesses with no good news to share. Paul says, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then I, Paul, am a liar. And the rest of the disciples are all liars. And everyone else who's been witnessing of the resurrection are all liars. All of the preaching, all of the witnessing they'd been doing about Jesus that had been happening up to this point, all of that preaching and teaching and witnessing centered on the resurrection. You can find this in the book of Acts in chapters 2, 3, 4, 10, 13, 17, and on and on and on and on. All their preaching was centered on the resurrection. Remember, this was like just hot off the presses. The resurrection had just happened. This was the good news, and it was on fire, right? Acts 4:33 says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Today, yes, we celebrate the resurrection, and we believe it, but sometimes it can get a little, you know, Easter after Easter, resurrection celebration 2012, resurrection celebration 2013. You know, after a while, it can get a little. This was like amazing for them. It had just happened. It was this unbelievably unfamiliar thing that had happened, and they were like excited about it. Thirdly, in verses 16 through 19, Paul says, if Christ is not risen, then believers are not physically resurrected. Those who have died are gone forever. And if in this life, Paul says, if we're holding on to Christ and his resurrection, and it really didn't happen, then we are to be pitied more than anybody else on earth. Because if that were the case, then Christ is only good for temporary hope while we're on this earth. But past that, we've got nothing. We are to be pitied. That's where my section of scripture ends. Let's pray. I'm just kidding. Okay. If I were to end there, I'd be like the Debbie Downer of the whole retreat. So, even though that's where my passage ends, let me leave you with a little bit of hope. And a few teases, too. So, tomorrow, Kristen is going to bring us back up and make us happy again after my downer of a message. By teaching us more about the truth of the resurrection in light of Jesus' power and majesty. And then later, Jackie and Jess, again, you are going to get to hear Jess teach again. Yay! Okay. Later, Jackie and Jess are going to tell us more about our resurrected bodies. That's something that us as women get especially excited about. Some of you might be like, speak for yourself. I'm happy about my body. Okay, whatever. Let me leave you with some hope that Paul is trying to logically lead the Corinthians to here, to convince them that they didn't buy into a smoke and mirrors act. They hadn't been fooled. They hadn't been lied to. But there was a fact, an amazing supernatural truth that awaits us all. Because we know that Jesus rose from the grave, we have hope no matter what this world brings, even the worst it could bring, death. Because of the resurrection, we know that those who have already left this earth are not gone forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. I know this is a life verse for so many of you. It's my signature verse on my email. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. When that trumpet sounds, those who have already died and are with Jesus in what kind of form, we don't know. We just know that they're with him. But when the trumpet sounds and we get raptured, as is only fair, those who have died and gone to be with the Lord, they will rise first and get their new bodies, and then we will follow closely behind. Closely behind. The reality of the resurrection is knowing that death, a loved one's death, our own death, the death of a follower of Jesus is not the end. It's not the final chapter. There is a real physical eternity. I think sometimes we forget that and we miss that point. We miss that hope of physical eternity that awaits us, in which we will all have new physical bodies. That is the hope of the resurrection. That's our safety net. That is our strength that helps us wait. Because really, ladies, the honesty here, the reality is that we don't want to wait. We hate waiting. For many of us, there is pain in the waiting, and we don't want to wait another day. I know there's a lot of you in this room who are of the same mindset, that we're kind of like in a season of death right now. I don't know what it is, but personally, over the past 2 years, I've been to more memorials than I have in my entire life. Super close friends, acquaintances, and my own daddy, who went to be with the Lord in May. And even though there's hope. Jesus is real, and the resurrection is real, and there is hope. There is sadness in the hope for a lot of us. 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 3 says, if you want to jot it down again, 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 3, it's an awesome verse. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. We groan and we weep and we cry, earnestly desiring to be clothed now with our new habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. There is a real fleshly, physical body waiting for us. Resurrection is real. Our physical bodies will be every bit as real as these bodies we have now, but oh, so much better. So much better. I wanted you guys to remember this, to remember this hope, to remember how real it is, that we're not going to be some sort of floating bubbles of nothing bumping into each other. We're going to be real physical bodies able to touch each other and hug each other. So I made this acronym, number one, to help us remember, and number two, as a little tribute to Jess, because Jess loves acronyms, and I thought of this one. So my acronym is PINCH, and what I want you guys, don't worry, it's not going to hurt. What I want you guys to do right now is reach over to the person next to you and gently, okay, not like my two-year-old pinches, but gently, give the person next to you a little pinch on the arm, no other body part. Okay, so when you do that, people who were pinched, did you feel that? Was it real? That was real. You felt it, right? So when you think of this, I want you to remember the letters in the word pinch and what they stand for in my little acronym. So when we die and the rapture happens, we get our new bodies, they are going to be physical, they are going to be incorruptible, they're going to be new, they are going to be Christ-like, they are going to be... Oh, I'm sorry. Physical, incorruptible, that's the one that's taking a while, huh? Oh, wait. Incorruptible. Two R's. Mariotti, two R's, two T's. New, I know, we all can't see the screen. Some of us have 44-year-old eyes. Thank you. Christ-like and heavenly. Physical, incorruptible, new, Christ-like, and heavenly. And as you sit through the rest of the teachings, I want you guys, as you hear scriptures that back these up, because each one of these has at least one scripture more that prove that this is true, that say physical, incorruptible. You're going to hear some of them tomorrow and some of them Sunday. Make a little note next to that. Oh, incorruptible. Where was that? She just read that out of 1 Corinthians, blah, 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 blah. Jot it down. And then give your neighbor just a gentle little pinch and remind them. When we get to heaven and we're all dancing on streets of gold, we're going to be real. We're going to be our new bodies. Pinch. We're going to be able to pinch each other, right? Okay. All right, I'm going to leave you guys with the Chris Tomlin song that I really like. So the song is I Will Rise, and I wanted to know more about the story behind it. And so I looked up a little bit, and this is what it had written. This is what Chris Tomlin wrote about the song. He said, toward the end of the How Great Is Our God tour, Louis Giglio challenged me to write a song of worship for people in their hardest time of grief. We were talking about the reality that we need more songs like the hymn, It Is Well, that can be sung as worship and hope at a funeral. To be able to find words to say and sing in that moment of sorrow when you lose someone you love. A few days later, Louis sent me an email with a few thoughts about the song, and the one line that stuck with me the most was, the grave is overwhelmed. I took that idea and ran. This song speaks the truth that we have a Savior and a God that has defeated death, and we have victory over it as well as in Him. He has made us alive. And even though all of us one day will say goodbye to our earthly bodies, we will rise when He calls our name. I want us to sing a little bit of this song. If you know the words, please sing out loud with me. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And when we sing to Him, He's here. He's here now. But as you sing these, we're not going to sing the whole song. But I want you guys to think about what that will be like. And the fact that we have that hope today, and that Kristen pointed out earlier, the leaders were praying, Kristen pointed out there's a verse, she'll probably share it later, so I'll let her share it because I forgot what it was. But there's a verse that talks about the fact that we've been made new and brought out of death into new life already if we've accepted Christ. And that there is a day coming when we will have amazing, no sorrow, no pain bodies, and when we'll be able to physically hug our loved ones who have gone. We'll be able to hug them, pinch them, kiss them. More importantly, we'll be able to look into the eyes of our Savior, right? Secondly, we'll be able to do that. So if you know the words, I want you to sing with me, and I want you to thank Jesus so much for the hope that can never be stolen away by Satan. It can never be taken away. There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.